And with all the different women empowerment groups that are around, it's, in my opinion, a trendy topic to talk about, to be a strong, independent woman. But I'm not talking about that power and strength based on the world standpoint and what they view a powerful woman to look like. I'm talking about a spiritual strength and power of a woman based on a biblical standpoint. I'm talking about the strength that Hannah had when she was barren and she prayed for Samuel, for God to open up her womb. She went to the tabernacle of God day in and day out and asked God to open up her womb. I'm talking about the courage and the strength and the faith that Deborah had when she stepped up into a leadership role as a woman and led the Israelites out of bondage. I'm talking about the faith that Sarah had when she believed that God would keep his promises and she was able to have a child in her old age. I'm talking about the strength and faith that the woman with the issue of blood had the day she received her miraculous healing. Now, sometimes we look at these women in the Bible and we see them as unattainable. We think, I could never do what they did, or I could never achieve what they achieved. But when I study these women, I find that they're no different than you and I. They had doubt, they had fear, they had insecurities. But what I also find when I study these women, I find that they were faithful in their walk with God. No matter their circumstances, no matter the storms that came their way, no matter what they went through, they consecrated their life to God and they were faithful to God. So when I think about the topic of faith, in my opinion, it's very intimidating, because when you talk about it, you have to live it. And when you teach it, you really have to live it. So at times, having faith, it could be hard. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I think that's what the scary thing about faith is. It's the unseen, it's the unknown, and nobody wants to walk blindly into the unknown. But that's what having faith is, and we're not walking blindly into the unknown because we have God on our side, and God is for us, and he's not against us. When we trust God and we have faith in God, he will never fail us. So when we are consumed with worry and we have fear and we have anxiety and doubt, I've been there, but we are lacking faith. We believe that our situation is so big that we have to worry about it. We feel that we have to put matters into our own hands instead of putting them in God's hands and letting God do his job. Yes, our situation is big. Yes, we all have problems, but they're not too big for God. We serve a big God, and he will see us through. Now, the Bible makes mention of several powerful women, and I'm not going to mention all of them, because if I do, we'll be here all day long. But I'm going to mention a few of my favorites who I feel represent faith in such a powerful way. 1 Samuel makes mention of a lady by the name of Hannah. And if you guys don't know the story about Hannah, I'll recap it real quick. Hannah was married to Elkanah, and he had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah, and they had children. Peninnah was able to have children, but Hannah did not. And each year, Elkanah and his family would go down to Shiloh, and they would pray to God, and they would make sacrifices to God at the tabernacle. And although Elkanah loved Hannah, he did treat her different than Peninnah, because Peninnah was able to give him children. And so when he would give them portions of meat, he would give Peninnah and her family more, and he wouldn't give Hannah much of anything. And this would happen year after year, and Peninnah noticed this, and she would taunt Hannah, and she would laugh at Hannah, and she would basically make fun of Hannah because of what Hannah was going through. And that really hurt Hannah. She would then be reduced to tears, and she would continue to pray to God and cry. And the Bible actually says she didn't eat for the days that would happen. And Elkanah at one point actually told her while she was praying to God, he said, "Why are you crying? Aren't I better than having 10 sons? And I don't know about you ladies, but if I was praying to God for a miracle and my husband came up to me and told me, aren't I better than that miracle? I wouldn't be very happy. I'd be actually very upset." But Hannah, didn't let this get to her. And even if it did, she continued to be faithful to God, and she prayed to God. And she had Penina in one ear mocking her. She had her husband thinking she was pretty much dumb for praying to God like that. And at one point, she was praying so hard to God one day, and she made a vow to God, and she said, God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And she was praying so hard that the high priest, who was Eli, he thought that she was drunk. And he came up to her and he said, why do you come to the temple drunk? And she said, I'm not drunk, but I'm praying to God for a miracle. And Eli noticed that, and he said, go in peace. God has heard your request. So Hannah believed what the man of God in her life told her, and she cleaned herself up, she wiped her tears, and she started to walk out her journey of faith. And God didn't answer Hannah's prayer right away, actually. She had a long, long season of waiting, but she continued to be faithful, and she kept going to the house of God and praying to God for her miracle. And eventually, God did bless her with a son, and we all know she named him Samuel. And Samuel grew up and became a mighty man of God. And Hannah did what she told God that she was going to do. She kept her promise to God. When Samuel became of age and he wasn't being fed by her anymore, she took him to the house of God, and she raised him in the house of God. Samuel did many mighty things for the kingdom of God, and he was very effective. He anointed great king, like a great king. We know David was a great king. He anointed David. He also anointed Saul. He was a priest, and he was a judge. He impacted so many people in the nation of Israel. Now, Samuel was a product of Hannah's faith. If Hannah would have gave up on that prayer and quit and said, God, you're not answering my prayer when I think you should be answering my prayer, there would be no Samuel. And if Hannah would have gave up on that prayer, the nation of Israel would not have had one of the most prolific and anointed men of God in their life. So it's important to have faith, because you never know who can be a product of your faith. When you have faith and you're trusting God, God always has somebody else in mind. So you never know who can be that product of your faith. So having faith is powerful. Being a woman of faith takes boldness, and it takes confidence. You don't have to come before God timid. You don't have to come before God with your head hanging low, but you can come to God boldly. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 actually instructs us to come to God boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find grace in a time of need. And we see this played out in Matthew chapter 9. A woman comes to God boldly, and it's the woman with the issue of blood. She had this condition for 12 years, and she went to every medical professional that she could, and she spent all the money that she had, she spent on trying to get help about her condition, and nobody would help her. Nobody could help her. I'm sure she tried every natural remedy that she could to help this condition. Nothing worked. So when she seen Jesus that day, she was not passive to getting to the feet of the king and getting her miracle. She was desperate for a miracle. She went to God boldly. She said to herself that day, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. She didn't say, I might be made whole. She didn't say, oh, if God sees me, I hope that he'll heal me. I'll try to get his attention. But no, the Bible says, she said, I shall be made whole. And that's what having faith looks like. So she pushed her way through the crowd. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. So she pushed her way through the crowd, and she seen Jesus, and she touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus turned around, and Jesus said, who touched me? And she caught God's attention. And God looked down at her, and in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus tells her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It was her faith that saved her that day. It was her faith that gave her that miraculous healing that day. So it's easy for God to perform a miracle. It's easy for him to move a mountain. If God created the sun, the moon, the stars, He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. It's not hard for God to step into our situation and change it. But sometimes God puts us through certain difficult situations to build our faith and to make us stronger. It's in those valley moments where God breaks us and he molds us and he molds us into the person that he wants us to be. Not a lot of times when you're on the mountaintop do you need a lot of molding, because you pretty much have it figured out at that point. You got your blessing. You received your miracle. You don't need a healing. But it's in those valleys when you don't know how you're going to make it out and you say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. God comes in and he steps in and he reveals himself to us and he makes us stronger. So when I was pregnant with Breezy, we were so happy. And being that we were first-time parents, and we would go to our doctor's appointment monthly, and I would get a checkup, and everything was going good, and I felt great. But there was this one particular appointment when, early on in my pregnancy, when the doctor asked me how I was doing, and I was so excited to tell her that I was doing so great, and that I was having Braxton Hicks contractions. I could feel the baby moving. My stomach would actually go up on one side. And I was just so happy because finally the baby's kicking. Well, me being a naive first-time parent, your baby doesn't kick in your first trimester, at least to where you can feel it. So my doctor looked very concerned, and she said, you're not supposed to be having Braxton Hicks contractions right now. And she said, I'm going to check you again. I'm going to send you back in for an ultrasound, and we'll see kind of what's going on. So I went back into the ultrasound room, and I still felt great. The ultrasound tech did the whatever they do and looked at me, and I went back into my doctor's office, and she came back in the room a few moments later, and she told me what was going on. And she said, the first thing that she told me was, she said, Marie, I'm worried about you. And nobody wants to hear that from a doctor, because if a doctor says they're worried, they don't just say that. They're actually really worried about you. And she told me kind of what was going on with my body. And she said that basically what the condition was, what was going on with my body, it results in miscarriage or your baby coming too early and then you eventually losing it because the baby can't live on its own without mama's help. So I was so scared, and I was immediately full of fear. And she told me that she's going to send me in for emergency surgery the following day. And I was just flooded with all these different emotions. And I'm like, emergency surgery tomorrow. I work tonight. I work tomorrow. Like, a lot of changes happening. And I told her that, and she said, Marie, it's either your job or it's your baby. And of course, I'm going to... My job doesn't matter. I care about my child. And so we'll do whatever we can to save my baby. So she told me even with the surgery, it could help it, but we still don't know because she doesn't know the future. The baby, she doesn't know if the baby will be able to survive or not, but it can help. So I ended up having the surgery. Everything went fine. But that night before the surgery, I was crying. I was crying all night long, and I couldn't get it together. And so my husband finally came up to me, and he said, Maria, you have to get it together. You have to be strong. You have to be strong for your baby. And he said, you can't let fear put you into this situation. It's in God's hands. And he said, and that's why I love the story about Hannah, because he told me, he said, today we're going to dedicate our baby to God. He said she's not here right now, but whether God decides to take her or whether God decides to keep to give us her, we're going to dedicate her to God. So I wish I can say right away I was like, oh yes, let's do this, I'm excited, but that's not how it happened. I was still full of fear, and I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to say, I give you all the control, God. You know, I wanted my baby. I'm just being honest. I wanted her. And I went to bed that night. I ended up having the surgery. Everything went great. And a couple days later, the doctor came back And she told me, she said, okay, now, you know, all you have to do is you just have to keep that baby growing inside of you. And so that's why I wasn't able to leave the house for 6 out of the 9 months of my pregnancy. I could only leave for doctor's appointments, and it was rough. But I was willing to do anything I could to see my baby born. And every week, I think it changed on a Sunday, every week when I would get bigger and bigger and the baby was growing, and week 16, she said, the doctor told me, she was like, Murray, if we can make it to 20, I believe it was 24 weeks. She's like, if you can make it to 24 weeks, then that's a milestone, and that means the baby could live on its own, so we just need to get there. So week 16 went by, and no baby came, and we were rejoicing. And then week 17 went by, and no baby came, and we were rejoicing. And my family and I, we were in a group message, and there's a lot of us in that group message, and somebody would write every week, we made it to week 18, like, God is good. And every week, it was just building my faith. I'm like, okay, God, we can do this. And I was thanking God. And I'm not going to lie, every day, it wasn't that easy. I wasn't just full of faith every single day. It was hard. I had fear almost every day. I would get these thoughts in my mind, like, what if your baby, you lose your baby? You know, what if, all the what ifs. And negative thoughts, and it was the devil, you know, the enemy coming into my mind and trying to put me in fear again. But I would always be reminded about this Bible verse. And sometimes the devil, when you go through certain situations and you're in those moments where you don't know how you're going to get out of it, he will come to you and he will put lies into your mind. So you have to say, what am I going to believe? Am I going to believe what the devil says, or am I going to go back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says? So the Bible verse that always stood out to me during that valley moment in my life was 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I would always remind myself, and the devil came at me with all those negative thoughts, I would continue to say, God, you haven't given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And that's what you have to speak into your life. If you're going through a situation and you don't know how you're going to see your way out, remind yourself of what God says. Don't listen to the devil. You may say, oh, but I feel this way. And these are the thoughts that are going, you may feel that way. You may think those thoughts, but that's not what the Bible says about you. And that's not what God says about you. So the enemy knows that he can consume your mind with fear and worry. And he knows that if he can do that, he can eventually steal your joy and your peace. And he knows that once that happens, you won't be effective in the kingdom of God. So don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that your situation is never going to change. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you just need to throw in the towel, that God doesn't care about you, because God does care about you. He does care about your situation. The devil will lie to you and tell you that your loved one is never going to be saved, or that you're never going to get the healing that you feel that God has promised that you're going to get. Don't listen to him. God has his own timing. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're experiencing. And you just have to continue to consecrate yourself to God and have faith that God will see you through. Now, being a woman of faith is not an option. When it comes to our walk with God, having faith is so important to God. And I know I sound a little bit redundant, but it's true. It's so important to God. Because in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you can do all these great things. You can be a great person and believe that you're living a great life for God. But if you don't have faith, you're not pleasing to God. It says it right there. So speak life over your situation. Speak life over your children, over your home. Whatever it is that the enemy's taunting you with, just like Penina was doing to Hannah, choose to be like Hannah and say, you know what, God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I'm just going to go back to my knees and I'm going to continue to pray and trust you. Now, the women that I mentioned today, what I find to be consistent throughout their stories is that through their difficult times, throughout their season of waiting, in their insecurity, in their fear, and in their doubt, they had unwavering faith. And that's what made them powerful. Through the good times, they consecrated their life to God. Through the bad times, they consecrated themselves even more to God. we find that Hannah went to God faithfully, and she prayed to God when she was barren, when things weren't going in her way, when she was in that valley moment. But what Hannah also did, she went back to the house of God when she got that blessing, and she did the same thing, and she prayed to God, and she was faithful. A lot of us find ourselves just praying when and being faithful to God when things are going great. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We don't just need to do that when God is blessing us, but we also need to do that even more when we don't know how we're going to get out of our situation or what the future looks like. I believe that if we continue to consecrate ourselves to God and we continue to have faith, that we can be very effective women in the kingdom of God. We're powerful, just like the women in the Bible. And God is just wanting to remind us today that your situation is not going to stay the same. Just because you're having a valley moment right now doesn't mean that he's not listening, because he does care about you and he does love you. So I want to encourage you all today to continue to have faith in God. Be faithful. Consecrate your life to God, because being a woman of faith makes you powerful.